So, since we don't have a board chairman, one of the three commissioners will have to call the meeting to order, and then first item of business will be to elect a board chair.
All right, well, I'll do it because I haven't done it yet. I'll call the meeting to order. I'm John Leiber, treasurer. And our first item of business is the election of the board chair. Pull it up. So, well, I'll just say I'm willing to be chair. I haven't been chair, and I'd be happy to provide some experience in my legislative experience and help kind of be the public face, especially in today's climate. I think it would be a useful role for me to be in. And of course, I really enjoyed it. I've been trying to get out and go to meetings, as it were, and promote the BCPL as much as I can.
Tom, I guess, what's the parliamentary procedure for this? Do you take all nominations up front, or do you do one nomination at a time?
No, normally what happens at a point like this is that nominations are provided, and you need both a motion to make someone the chair and a second for that motion. So.
Well, I'm also would be happy to serve as board chair again. I think that the BCPL did a really great job as an agency when we were all working together. Between the work that we did with our bylaws to developing really strong relationships with our key stakeholders and our beneficiaries. And so continuing in that role, would be an honor, and would be a real no training wheels needed. Ready to start.
I am not putting my name forward to be BCPL chair. I think there was a lot of great work done in the last 4 years, and I know Sarah knows the job very well, so I'll move that. Secretary Godlewski be the next board chair.
I will second that.
All right. Then I guess we'll have a vote on that.
Any discussion?
Well, you know, like I said, I just feel like we should probably have an elected member as the chair. I just think that'd go over well when we're trying to work with the legislators and the governor's office, but I think we can all work together either way, so. Yeah. All right, if anyone else has anything to say, then we can vote.
All right, so is it all those in favor of the motion say aye? Is that the next parliamentary step?
Yeah.
Next parliamentary step.
That is all right. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye, Josh.
And all opposed? I'll say no. That's me, John.
All right. Well, the motion passes, and I'll just take the gavel from John to kind of continue down the agenda for today. So we do have approval of the minutes from the meeting on March 27th. We got those last week. You should have all gotten them on Friday. Is there a motion to approve the minutes?
I'll move.
I second.
Great. It's been moved and seconded. Is there any friendly amendments to the minutes? See none. All those in favor say aye. Aye, Sarah.
Aye, Josh.
Aye, John.
The minutes are approved. We've got four loans in the portfolio today, a little over $1.1 million. They're general obligation loans. And so is there a motion to approve the loans?
I'll move, John.
Great. I second.
It's been moved and seconded. So, Rich, what, before we go into approving these loans, do you want to talk us through the portfolio that we're looking at today?
Sarah, there's not really too much to talk about here. There's two loans for road work and two loans for equipment purchases. I would like to mention that over the last 24 hours, we have gotten seven loan applications out. So things are picking up a little bit. And there is one interesting one that is for the town of Sanborn in Ashland County. They are borrowing money to reimburse taxes that had been previously paid by Native Americans. And that was a requirement due to a recent, I believe, Supreme Court decision. Josh can correct me if I'm wrong there, but that'll be a little bit different moving forward. That might be another month or two before that one comes before the board.
Thanks.
It was a court decision. I don't recall which court it was, but. Okay.
Any questions for Rich about the portfolio?
Just one quick question. How do you see, are rates going up? Is it, what's kind of the direction of the future loans?
You know, that's a good question, John. And I'm going to be talking about that during the Chief Investment Officer's report a little bit later.
All right, great.
Any other questions for Rich about the loans? All right, see none. All those in favor say aye. Aye, Sarah.
Hi, Josh.
Hi, John.
Great. The loans are approved. I see that there was an item that was brought for old business about the normal school fund distribution. Tom, is that something that you want to talk about today, or do we want to postpone that to our next meeting?
Well, the issue was raised by the former Secretary of State, and the state treasurer had weighed in a little bit too, so I thought I'd just give a quick summary. As the state treasurer pointed out at the last board meeting, Assembly Bill 67 is moving through the legislature very quickly. That bill is designed to remove the sunset provision on the Merit Scholars Program. So any normal school fund distributions above $500,000 in any year are directed by statute to these merit scholarships. And as this year's total distribution will be approximately $1.1 million, this would provide approximately $600,000 in scholarships to UW students. My understanding, the bill has already been through the Assembly and is now scheduled for a vote tomorrow in the Senate. So
it's moved through the committee on both sides?
Through the committee on both sides. So it appears that the bill is reaching the finish line in very short order.
And the only thing the bill does, if I'm correct, is just moves the sunset. Is that right?
That is correct.
Okay.
I think it's fair to say this is an issue that Secretary La Follette was primarily the one who was interested in, given the sort of historic uses of some of these funds. And so, Tom, thank you for that follow-up on that issue.
My pleasure.
Any questions for Tom about it? Tom, can you just let us know? I think let's just keep this on the agenda, and then once it's finalized, or just provide us status updates. I think that's helpful.
Be happy to do that.
Thank you. All right. We've moved through old business. Is there any new business that any of the commissioners would like to? All right, moving on to routine business. Rich and the Chief Investment Officer's reports, talking about rates.
Thanks, Sarah. You know, I first wanted to talk about the current round of bank failures and the impact on the market and, you know, the board. I might be showing my age here, but, you know, the biggest problem that banks face is really the same thing that happened to the SNLs in the late 1980s, namely short-term deposits and long-term assets. You know, for the SNLs, the long-term assets were commercial real estate and home mortgages. But for Silicon Valley Bank and other regional banks, the long-term assets purchased with these short-term deposits were treasury notes and bonds. We've discussed on many occasions how the price on fixed income assets changes with in the opposite direction of current market interest rates. So when interest rates go up, bond prices go down. As the Fed increased interest rates 8 times over the past year, the deposit rates paid by banks continued to increase while the value of their long-term bonds continued to drop. This is not a problem if you're going to hold these assets to maturity. Treasuries are safe and you will receive 100% of your investment back at maturity. For example, let's look at the Common School Fund. You know, we can hold our bonds to maturity. Last year, when interest rates started to climb, we had excess cash reserves that needed to be invested to generate income for our beneficiaries. The investment committee granted the authority to invest up to $100 million of Common School Fund cash in agency bonds because interest rates were looking good and these bonds have zero default risk. We ended up investing about $95 million over the next several months into an agency bond portfolio with had an average yield of 4.8%. We've been very happy with this yield, especially when compared to the extremely low rates available to us over the past decade or so. As rates have continued to go up over the past few months, bond portfolios continue to drop in value, and agency bonds have been no exception. As of this morning, our agency bonds in the portfolio are showing an unrealized paper loss of $4.3 million, or 4.6%. The difference between us and the banks is that we do not need to sell these bonds at a loss. That doesn't mean we will never sell at a loss, because we might if a better investment opportunity becomes available. Some regional banks, on the other hand, had heavy paper losses that looked bad to both investors and depositors. As you know, deposits have FDIC insurance up to $250,000, but some companies and other depositors had millions of dollars at these banks. When large depositors got worried and started pulling out their short-term money out of the banks were forced to sell their long-term bonds at a significant loss. And those losses were so bad that the banks could not cover all of the deposits being withdrawn. You might hear a lot of noise that bank failures were caused by the Fed raising interest rates. I don't believe that for a second. The bank failures were caused by greed. The banks were making money hand over fist by paying next to nothing on short-term deposits and investing in higher-yielding long-term bonds. This strategy worked great until short-term deposits started paying more than long-term bonds, and bond prices fell through the floor. Over the past year, the banks could have hedged their bets by selling futures or some other mechanism to reduce their interest rate risk, but hedges are expensive, and that would have reduced their short-term profitability. They did not hedge their bets and failed as a result. Adam Smith would say, too bad for them. One other note on these bank failures. Silicon Valley Bank and Signature Bank are a few of the largest, if not the largest, banks in the venture capital industry. The Common School Fund has significant investments, about $30 million today on a cost basis, across 5 separate venture capital funds. Over the past 2 weeks, I've reached out to each of our venture capital funds, and none of these funds had a significant relationship with SVB. 3 of our funds have investments in companies with deposit relationships with SVB or Signature Bank, which are both now under FDIC control. With the FDIC fully protecting all depositors, we've been assured that these portfolio companies have access to all of their money, and there will be no interruptions to payroll or other operations. In any case, these bank failures have created more volatility in the interest rate market than I have seen in my 12 years at BCPL. The markets can't seem to make up their mind whether the bank closures may force us into a recession and force the Fed to lower rates, or whether future inflation expectations will cause the Fed to continue their string of rate hikes. Over the last 2 weeks, the momentum has changed almost daily and included some unusually large swings. For example, 2 weeks ago, on March 8th, the investment committee increased rates on state trust fund loans to 5.5% across the board. We felt that we needed to stay ahead of the treasury market, which had risen to over 5% that day on the two-year treasury. Yesterday, the two-year treasury yield dropped to near 3.6%, a drop of almost a point and a half in only 12 days. course, like a pendulum, rates are back up again today. The investment committee keeps a close eye on these markets and will change state trust fund loan rates as necessary to maintain our position in the market for taxable municipal debt. In fact, the investment committee had a special meeting yesterday and lowered state trust fund loan rates to 5% across the board. We hope these markets will eventually stabilize, but the investment committee stands ready to make changes as required by market conditions. I'd like to emphasize two takeaways from my report today. Unlike banks, or even most endowments, we manage our investment portfolio to create a diversity of income streams to better create significant, stable, and sustainable distributions to our beneficiaries. We manage our assets to reduce the risks created by market volatility. And the investment committee will strive to keep the state trust fund loan program a viable option for investment of the trust funds and as a source of project funding for municipalities and school districts across the state. That's all I have for today. Does anybody have any questions?
Rich, thanks for the update. Just to kind of recap, so the state trust fund loan program as of the meeting yesterday is at 5% across all like 5 to 10.
Correct, across all maturities, we're at 5%.
Okay.
Okay. I guess I would ask, do you expect that to continue?
You know, I hope that we'll not have to change rates in the near future, but I can't, you know, it's been so volatile, John, it's really hard to say. Yeah. When rates are going up and down by half a point a day, you don't know which way it's going to turn. You know, I expect that the Fed will raise rates slightly tomorrow, and we'll see what happens. You know, if that forces short-term treasuries up to a point where we have to raise our rates slightly to compensate for that, then that's what we'll have to do. But I'm hoping for stability. I just can't predict it.
I guess my other question is, so when is the right line for the municipal loan program? When somebody applies, or I mean, because we just voted on a bunch for at five and a quarter,
right? 5 1/4. Right, that's now. Right. Right. With the loans that were approved today were at 5 1/4% because that was the rate that was available when they sent in their original loan application request form. So as soon as they send that initial form in, I send out an application that includes the rate. We lock that rate for 60 days. And so if they have their meeting and approve the application, approve the borrowing resolution, complete the application and get that application back to me within a 60-day period, that rate remains locked at that initial 5 1/4 for those loans. So it's locked at the time that I receive the application request form.
So do they ever cancel their application and do it if the loan or the rate goes?
Sure. You know, if rates go down, they'll just start over again, depending on the timing of when they need the money. If rates go up, they'll try to get it done in time, right, to lock that lower rate in.
Okay. Just curious.
Sure. Do you have any comments on that operation, Tom?
No, I thought you actually did a great job on that. Thank you very much.
Jerry, you're on mute.
Yeah, can you? It keeps saying that I'm on mute, but like my image, it's not muted. It's weird.
We can hear you.
Okay, great. Any other questions for Rich about the portfolio or rates? And that's good to know, Rich, that across the 30 million, there is minimal investment in SVB.
Yeah, there's been some current concerns across the whole venture capital industry about what kind of impact these bank failures are going to create, because they were huge players in that market. And it may create the need for some additional capital to come into especially startup companies, because SVB did a lot of that early startup work.
Yeah, especially if they're located on that coast.
Right.
That's where you just did banking. It was just a no-brainer.
Right. Yeah, we are fortunate that our most of our venture capital investments are located in the Midwest.
Sure are.
Yep.
Proud of that. Okay, any other questions for Rich? Seeing none, I will pass the mic over to Tom.
Thanks, Sarah. I wanted to take just a couple minutes today to talk about kind of a tangential topic from what Rich was talking about. You know, BCPL staff perform continuing due diligence on our trust fund investments. And in accordance with our internal control plan, we periodically review the strength and services of our custodian, Charles Schwab. And after the failure of several prominent banks recently, as Rich noted, we took a closer look at Schwab's operations to make sure that we were aware of any such risks associated with our relationship. And while Schwab's bank does hold a limited number of longer-term bonds to maturity, Schwab does not appear to have the interest rate risk that caused the problems at Silicon Valley Bank and others. Furthermore, BCPL's practices call for a sweep of any cash in our Schwab custodial accounts back into the state investment fund every day, which further reduces any such risk. So, in summary, we're confident that our custody arrangement is safe and secure. But as part of our continuing due diligence, Rich and I will be following up with Schwab's chief risk officer in the next couple of weeks to talk further. And that's all I have for today. Are there any questions?
No, but I'm glad, Tom, that you guys checked with Schwab to kind of make sure everything was in a good place. So.
Thanks.
Any questions for Tom? All right, moving down to the board chair's report. I don't have a lot to share, unfortunately. Besides, I'm just excited to serve in this role and look forward to all the great work BCL is going to continue to do for public schools. Any future agenda items? I move to adjourn.
I'll second, John.
Okay, moved and seconded. Any discussion, debate? See none. All those in favor say aye. Aye, Sarah.
Aye, John.
Aye, Josh.
The meeting is adjourned. Thanks, everybody. See you in 2 weeks.
Have a good week, everyone.
Bye.